We're back on In Focus News Radio, KMAN. And Brandon Peoples talking today with Marvin Rodriguez, Vice Chair of the Raleigh County Commission, Josh Gearing, Assistant Director of Raleigh County EMS, joining the program as well. We talked a little bit about service times earlier this hour with EMS and how you're trying to improve that, especially in the North County. I'm curious, there's been a lot of road construction, especially in the Manhattan area, and maybe just kind of what challenges that's placed on EMS trying to get through town and get elsewhere, anywhere really.
Yeah, as you can imagine, it does oftentimes present some challenges. Personally, just my commute to work has been made a little wacky a few days here. But anyway, yeah, as far as responding to calls, it does present a few challenges. We stay on top of it though. We have a system in our ambulances that has a heads up display on kind of a mounted iPad at the front of the trucks, and we do routinely update that with any road constructions, and then with pre-planned alternate routes. And that's immediately visible by our responders while en route to a call, so they can see that flagged point, and they can then determine what that pre-planned alternate destination or alternate route is.
All right, yeah. There's a lot of challenges, especially along that whole Kimball corridor.
Yep,
that's been maybe the east-west route, especially, has been kind of difficult there.
Yeah, it has. And like I said, I mean, we try to work through it as best we can, and our providers and everybody at EMS is pretty savvy with directions and mapping, and it's something they spend actually a great deal of time studying and training on. So, to mitigate any issues.
Now, what is the goal? Like, let's say somebody has an emergency, they call 911. Is there a goal you have to be to that address at a certain time?
Yeah, so we actually have two kind of performance metrics that we use. The first one is what we call a shoot time, and that is time that the tones go off to when you're in the truck and en route. So getting your boots on, getting your shoes tied, getting your radio hooked up and everything. And our goal during the AM from 7A to 7P is 60 seconds. Our goal from 7P to 7A is 90 seconds, and we maintain that. And we keep track of that. And so that's a goal that we've been able to adhere to. And then also there's the response time, and that is from time that you go en route in the truck until the time you arrive on scene. And our kind of industry standard is, to be able to maintain a 6 minute or less response time in 90% of your jurisdiction. And Raleigh County EMS also is able to adhere to that goal.
We hear the scanner go off every once in a while. We hear things. And it's interesting, and I know that you guys are working on the upgrades to the radio system, but how much of a challenge does that present when you're trying to respond?
It does. It affects us daily. I think when the agreement was signed, actually, for the radio project, we made a point to come and express our gratitude, to the community and to the commissioners. It presents some very, very unique challenges depending, where we are geographically in the county. Our ability to communicate clearly and effectively, to our coworkers, to our co-responders, to other agencies, and to dispatch can be affected. So, I believe this is a phenomenal step for all emergency services in Raleigh County, and in my opinion, it really will translate to improved outcomes for the people we serve.
Marvin, where are we at in that process of those getting installed? I know there's some extra steps you have to follow here. I think you have to get some space on towers or something.
We're building five or six towers right now, and we finally got final approval on all of them, and we're just waiting to get them built. It may be next June, probably. A lot of the equipment, like the shelters that are there, are being ordered. They finally are ordered once we find a place. And We just are looking, and we finally got all the positions, all the towers where we want them, and that now we just got to get them built and go from there. And I think the equipment to order to go back to the central dispatch is going to be lined up by then, and then the radios also. And all the entities that wanted the radios will be paying for it themselves, but they're going through the county because we got a good deal by saying we're going to have so many. City of Riley, the fire department in Manhattan, our District 1 fire, the ambulance service, law enforcement, all are there. Each entity is going to pay Riley County back on that.
Okay. No, and it's not a cheap endeavor anytime you got to do some equipment like this.
No, we are estimated we got $10 million out there with everything. And so we're financing that. Yeah. And over a period of 12 years, I think it is. Right. And so we'll get it done.
Yeah.
And it will improve. We've had problems with trying to communicate between agencies and even in an agency to get a good response time or even get in. Some have had to use their phones. Mm. And that presents another problem, especially if all the lines are tied up on phones.
Well, yeah, and service is not always the best. I've been up north, and it's iffy at best sometimes.
Yeah, and along with what the FCC did by narrowing the frequency band, made our old system more obsolete, and the radio still couldn't get in. I mean, we've had trouble going through trees with leaves on them that they couldn't get to where they're supposed to get. So we're working on all of that to make that possible, to have the best possible service. And even if there's an accident where maybe it's in the middle of a field or something happened, trying to get ambulance there and fire there and everything, and once the first responder gets there, then they can communicate with the other people to get them there quickly. And that's part of the goal.
Gotcha.
Or see where they need an ambulance that has to, or fire that has to clear the roads or something, and they can get in to get RCPD to help them clear the roads so they can get out.
Okay. Well, that would be a good one. That's all taken care of. I imagine it'll be much more noticeable when you hear the upgrade.
Yes.
Because sometimes it's really hard to make out what people are saying. I mean, we hear it every day here at the radio station. You have some meetings coming up as well, as I understand, legislative meetings.
Yes.
You and each of the commissioners are going to take a different topic. I understand, Marvin, you're going to be talking at some point down the road here about dark store theory with some legislators.
We're going to be doing this the 29th of this month. Commissioner Wells will be talking about the LAVTR and the CCRS statutes, that these were designed to help the counties and give them some relief in doing work for the state, such as driver's license and all other things. And little by little, the state has been taking back some of that without changing the law. And we're hoping to be able to get them awake and start doing it. I know that many realtors were real happy when the mortgage fee was reduced and to pay the county. And so by having the mortgage fee, it helped to offset a lot of costs there from the register of deeds. Because we have many documents we got to store, we got to save. Some of them, they're in Hutchison and the salt mine, and we have to pay rent for that. Now that we're not receiving mortgage fees, we're ending up that more of the tax money from the county has to go into the register of deeds to fund them. And these other fees that the state took away, which I think was $1.2 billion or somewhere in there, if we'd have had it, and if it would have been still in play today, that the counties were receiving them, Riley County was up about $31 million that we've not had since about 2000 or so. And all that does is raise our cost. Mm-hmm. And so you either have to take a stand of keeping up with the services or reducing services, one or the other. And we don't want to reduce the services because we're everything we're doing in the county is a must. We do a lot of stuff for the state, and any reduction in service, mainly in service, what we have, I would say 90% of it would be emergency service reductions, fire, ambulance, law enforcement, and the other 10% is standing there waiting for your taxes to be paid. So it's very important, you know, that we go and cover that because it affects a lot of counties.
And I know you recently passed your budget, and it had just a very, very slight mill increase. And I know you would have maybe liked to have it flat, but even yet, only a 0.4 or something like that mill increase.
Well, it was a 2.1 or 3.1 on it. And still, if we'd have been able to have all that money way back, mm-hmm. we would not have that increase.
Gotcha. So that would have played a
yeah.
big factor.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then you're going to be talking also a dark store theory.
Right.
And we've talked about that quite a bit, about just how different big box stores and others are mm-hmm. maybe setting a new tone here in the state. The Bass Pro Shop in Johnson County was one of the most recent wins. Isn't there a hearing coming up pretty soon for one of the businesses here?
Home Depot.
Yeah.
That one there is kind of it's all over the country right now.
Yeah.
Different states, different ways they're doing it. But if it continues to go reduce the money in the counties, there will be less services for everybody. Or we'll have to start raising taxes on homeowners and small commercial, and that's not what we want. The problem that I see with this is the taxes on the large box stores, the taxes on the large industry buildings, etc., are all set by the state, how they're to be appraised. And then the dark store theory comes in and says, no, that's not how you should do it. And the Board of Tax Appeals lowers the tax on the customer, and then the county has to give the money back plus the interest for how many years it was being tried, and it all comes out of the county, and everything in there, the city would lose money, the school districts would lose money, the county loses money, so it hurts in that fact. And we're going to try to see if we can either get the legislature to change some wording so that the Board of Tax Appeals can make a better judgment on it. And if the governor wants money for schools, she's going to have to do something else, because if she takes money for schools and this problem continues to be, then there's going to be other services by the state cut.
Well, this would seem to me like a no-brainer to change the wording, because who's to say that, you know, a big box store does this? Why wouldn't a company C over here want to do the same thing?
Well, that's the problem. They keep doing it. We'll keep losing revenue that by state law should have been there.
Hmm. Okay, and that meeting's also August 29th. Are these taking place here or in Topeka?
They'll be in Topeka.
Okay. And then lastly, John Ford, Commissioner, will talk about home rule, which I'm not familiar with.
Well, home rule kind of puts it at that whatever the state decides to do for one county is applicable to the other, basically.
Okay.
And so that they all have a way of operating, because right now the state can give convenience to one county but tells another one they can't do it. And this way that we can do some legislation on some things that we need to do.
Okay. And you guys want to see that changed as
mm-hmm.
well. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a time out. We'll come back more with Marvin Rodriguez here, Riley County Commissioner, Josh Gearing, Assistant Director of Riley County EMS. And Focus continues after this on KMAN.